Well, good evening. If you please turn your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, starting on verse 16 and following. And this is what the Word of God says. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father, we come to hear your word today. We pray that you would save us from apathy with this truth. We have read this word in this passage so many times. We have perhaps heard it explained or thought or even preached many, many times. We pray, O Lord, that by the grace of the Spirit, you would give us fresh eyes to see this truth for us. Lord, we come. We pray that as we come to this word this day, that we would not come simply viewing our worship this day as a sentimental occasion, but as a day, a time, an hour to commune with you, to hear you speak to us. So lead us by your Spirit. So Father, we pray, we beg of you that you would speak to our hearts, that you would reveal yourself to us once again. May you transform us and challenge us by your word. We ask it all this in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen and amen. My beloved, that is something that we know as we started singing Christmas songs. Christmas is before us in the next couple of weeks. To know that Jesus came, then we must go. Every follower of Christ should be zealous to see the gospel taken to the ends of the earth. Being a disciple means a person is driven to see the gospel to all people. And as a result, they are themselves committed to making disciples. Every follower of Jesus is called to be a fisher of men. That every disciple, every learner, every follower of Jesus makes disciples. It's not an optional command for a select few. It's not just for your pastors or for your elders or for the deacons of this church. But evangelism and disciple making is for everyone. It is the Christ commanded, Spirit-empowered duty for every disciple to proclaim the gospel, to make Christ known. We should long to see people come to Christ, to see them baptized into the church and teach them to obey everything Christ has commanded us, so they might then join in making disciples themselves until the nations are reached with the gospel. My beloved, the Great Commission is not about going, but about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all peoples and teaching those who believe to walk in obedience to Christ's commands. That's what we'll be talking about here. What it means to make disciples. The words go, teaching, and baptizing simply serve as clarifiers that explains how the command is to be fulfilled. The end goal of missions is not going, teaching, or even baptizing, but making disciples. Therefore, regardless of our zeal or sacrifice, our work on the mission field or here locally will prove to be little more than hay, wood, or stubble if we're not endeavoring to accomplish the task for which we were sent. And that task that we were sent, the making of disciples. If I were to ask you to write down the answer to the following questions, how do you make disciples? What would you write? What does that look like in your own life? Or even you would say, I don't know if I've ever really made a disciple. Again, my beloved, it's so important for us to answer these questions, to know what these questions mean, that we can confidently say and respond to these questions, how do I make disciples? Let me encourage you to remember that Jesus has commanded this for all of us as his followers. We are to go and make disciples. We don't want to get to the end of our lives and looking back, realize we haven't done this one thing he left for us to do. After all, if the point of our lives was simply to know him, he could have taken us home in the moment of our conversion, the day that we were saved. That we are saved. But he has left us here in the world of sin and evil and injustice for a reason. You see, my beloved, Christ's command to make disciples means something significantly more than counting race hands or decision cards at the end of an evangelistic campaign or crusades. A disciple of Christ is someone who has been soundly converted through the preaching of the gospel and brings forth fruit corresponding to repentance and faith. That person who, having been justified by faith in his master, continues to be transformed into his likeness. Christ has given us a mission, which is to make disciples. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we make disciples? So we'll be looking at the specifics of his great commission in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 16 through 20, trying to narrow it down to the essence of what it means to make disciples. We're going to look at the four core commands in this passage and how they play out practically in our lives. I want us to realize that what he says first is very significant. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus telling us a reality that will compel us to give ourselves to these core commands, the truth that he is Lord over everyone and in everything. See, but by this point, he has lived a perfect life. He has died the death you and I deserve to die on the cross, and he has risen from the dead in victory over sin. He's about to ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God. It is in this context that he says, I have authority over everything in heaven and on earth, that he is Lord. In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, what had been prophesied is now a reality. So if you open your Bible to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, starting on verse 13. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, and says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So church, reading that, we see that Christ has sovereign dominion over all rulers and nations everywhere. Which is a good reminder for us to remember that right now, Jesus is Lord over everything with sovereignty, dominion, and power over all the peoples and rulers. He holds all kingdoms and powers and even precedents in the palm of his hand. He is leading and guiding all of human history toward the end. When as the book of Revelation chapter 7, starting on verse 9, if you open your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. My beloved, this tells us that every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and people will gather around his throne and give God glory through him. And even if you open your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Sometimes people will say, I've come to the point where I have decided to make Jesus Lord of my life. Whenever you hear that, realize that person really never had a choice in the matter. Jesus is not Lord because we choose to make him that. He is Lord already. What we choose is whether we will bow our knee to his lordship now, or will we bow the knee to his lordship when it's too late? He is Lord, and that is a fact. Think about what it means, what that means in our lives. As our Lord, our lives are his to direct. He determines where we go. He determines how we live. He determines what we do every single day. This is what it means to be a disciple. We die to ourselves, surrendering our right to determine the direction of our lives. You see, my beloved, Christ determines where we live. He determines where we live and how we live, what we do. He has commanded us to make disciples, and he has led us to do that in all kinds of different ways. It might mean we stay where we are. Or he might lead us to another part of the world. Just like our beloved elder Richard Matley and his family are moving to Maine to make disciples. And that is the very reason why they're leaving us in our fellowship to go in Maine and preach the good news of Christ and to make disciples. You see, my beloved, it is Christ's call to make and not ours. Our lives are his to determine how we live. He is our Lord. In the Great Commission, the decision to follow Christ is the decision to be a disciple. The instrument God uses to make disciples is the local church. Remember, He's not just our Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's Lord over every people group in every nation in the world. There are a lot of people in those nations who are not bowing their knee to Him as Lord, and this is why we do mission as followers of Christ. We know Jesus is Lord, and we want to proclaim that all over the earth. We want to tell others of His goodness and greatness and glory and power and might and mercy. So my beloved, we want to proclaim His majesty. We want to proclaim His judgment. We want to proclaim His wrath. We want to proclaim His love to the people around us where we live and to the people around the world. We are surrendered to His Lordship, and we want to proclaim His Lordship. This is what compels us to make disciples. The question is, but how do we do this? So if you look at the book of Matthew once again, in the book of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, contains only one imperative verb, a command, in the original language, that is, make disciples. This is then surrounded by three participles: going, baptizing, and teaching. That's where we can see three of the four components that make up the essence of the Great Commission. First, if you're taking notes, the first thing I want us to see is this. The first component of disciple making is that we are to go and proclaim the word. We're to proclaim the word. Jesus is telling His disciples on that mountain that they are to go and to proclaim the gospel with people who have never heard it. That's the essence of evangelism, which is a fundamental part of disciple making. Often in many of our discussions on discipling today, we disconnect it from evangelism. We'll be in discipleship groups, or that is something separate from our gospel sharing activities. We can be sure that when Jesus was talking to His disciples, He wasn't telling them to start discipling each other for the rest of their lives. He was telling to make the gospel known to other people so that they would be led to Christ. So we need to think in a practical way. Who in your life are you sharing the gospel with? And that is something that you and I have been talking about for the last couple of weeks. It's about going out and proclaiming the word, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. So the question is, who in your life are you sharing the gospel with? Let's make that question personal. Write this question down. Who in my life am I sharing the gospel with? My beloved, I want to encourage you as a follower, as a learner, as a disciple of Christ, make a list of all the people in your sphere of influence who do not know Christ. It could be family, it could be friends, it could be your neighbors, your co-workers, people who either don't know Christ or you don't know whether or not they know Christ. Then circle at least a few of them with whom you will be intentional to share the gospel over the next week or the next month. Pray for new opportunities and for boldness to use those opportunities to actually share the greatest news in all the world with them. What a great opportunity that we have. As we celebrate Christmas, here's the greatest news as we gather with our family and our loved ones, our friends, as we remember Christmas. That Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It is not about the gifts that's under the trees. It's not about the gift giving. It's about proclaiming Jesus Christ. So pray for opportunities. So this is disciple making, which we have been commanded to do by sharing the gospel with others. Church, you need to realize that God has put these people into your life for a reason. He loves those people so much, and he desires them to know him. He loves them so much that he's put you in their lives with the opportunity to share the good news of Christ with them. Do you realize that? Are you aware of that? That God loves them so much that he has put you in their lives with this opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Proclaiming the word is where disciple making starts, but it's not where it stops. We may have a tendency to think that evangelizing is an end in itself. Sharing the good news is an end in itself. When someone has made a decision to receive Christ, we can think, oh, they're Christians, and now they have acknowledged Christ. Let's just move on. Let's find someone else. That's not how it works. But one thing that you and I need to realize is that we need to proclaim the word. The second thing I want us to look at, the second component, the next step in disciple making after evangelism is this: demonstrate the word. We are to go to make disciples, then we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why would baptism be so significant in the Great Commissions? In the essence of disciple making, why is baptism so important? According to the scripture, in the book of Acts chapter 2, in the book of Romans chapter 6, Matthew chapter 3, baptism is described as the public identification in our lives that we are followers of Christ. In baptism, we identify with him and with the gospel. Romans 6 tells us we are put in water as a picture of death to sin and self. Then we are raised out of the water as a picture of being raised to life with Christ. We see in Ephesians chapter 2 that baptism is a picture of being publicly identified with Christ's life. It identifies his death, his burial and resurrection, showing that we are now followers of him. I mean, what a great joy for us as we look ahead, celebrating our 10 years anniversary. And just last month, we have baptized a few members of our church. One in particular that gives me great joy to baptize, Mommy Helen, at the age of 75. For her to acknowledge, for her to publicly proclaim that she is a follower of Christ. So my beloved, it really shows it goes even deeper. Not only are we identified with the life of Christ, but we are also identified with the body of Christ. Baptism takes place in the context of the church, joining a community of other believers who are also identified with Jesus. When we are baptized, what we're saying, I belong to Christ as a member of his body, the local church. This is so significant in the process of disciple making. We proclaim the word so they might believe the gospel. Then we see them baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They need to understand that their life is now identified not just with Christ, but also with the community of faith. People who will help them grow in the life they now have in Jesus Christ. God has specifically designed churches as a place where his disciples can grow and mature, because they see in the church what following Christ actually looks like. And this is a great place for us to demonstrate how the word is working in our individual lives. It is there that they come to see model the transformations that come with discipleship. The transform mind, transform affections, transform will, and transform relationships. Think about it this way. Imagine you were to lead somebody to Christ tomorrow. By God's grace, you share the gospel with one of the people on your list and they believe in Christ. How is that new believer going to begin to grow in Christ? How will they learn to study the Bible, for example? You could give them some books on Bible study or recommend they go to a particular Bible study, and that would be helpful. But wouldn't it be far more helpful if you sat down with your Bible open and told them how you personally study it? I read a chapter of scripture and here are the questions I ask to help me understand what I'm reading. Here are questions that help me apply what I read to my life. Here is how it affects the way I pray. Here's how it affects my decisions. Here's what I do when I don't understand something in the Word. In other words, you demonstrate them how to study the Bible. You demonstrate them what the life of Christ looks like in action. What it looks like to have Jesus' words abide in them by learning from you. Or how is that believer going to learn to pray? You could give them some books on prayer, or maybe a sermon to listen to, and yes, those might be helpful. But wouldn't it be far more helpful to invite them into your quiet time and say, I want to show you how I pray. I want to show you what I've learned about the role of praise in prayer, about confession in prayer, about intercession in prayer. When my mind starts to wander in prayer, here's how I've learned to stay focused. Again, my beloved, as you disciple, you demonstrate them how to pray. Think about all the facets of the Christian life. How can you show them how to follow Christ? Maybe you're thinking, wait a minute. In order to show someone or somebody else how to study the Bible, I've actually got to know how to study the Bible myself. In order to show someone else how to pray, I've got to be praying. You and I need to understand this. The importance of us learning and studying the Word of God for ourselves. Being able to commune with God. Being able to go in our quiet place to have a time of prayer, not just during our meals, not just in public prayer time, but being able to demonstrate what it looks like of a believer who prays. You start to realize that God has designed disciple making not just for others to grow in Christ. He's actually designed disciple making for us to grow in Christ. He's designed disciple making not only for others, but for you as well. I'm convinced that every follower, every disciple of Christ will plateau in our relationship with Christ. We will hit a ceiling in as long as we're just living for ourselves. But if we're living to see other disciples grow in the image of Christ, grow in the Word, grow in prayer, grow in evangelism, grow in disciple making themselves, then we have to show them what all these things are. So how do people grow in Christ? They have to see what that growth looks like in others' lives. That's what the church is about. What disciple making is about. So it's important for us as a church to be living out this truth so others, those new in the faith, could see what it looks like for us following Christ. So let me encourage you to think about who you are leading to Christ. That's the first part, sharing the Word, proclaiming the Word with others. But second, you have to demonstrate the Word. As people come to Christ, how are we showing them what it looks like to follow Him? What does that look like to follow him? And this leads to the third component of disciple making, teaching them to obey what Christ has commanded us. So again, the question is, how do you make disciples? You proclaim the word, you demonstrate the word, then you teach the word, teaching them to obey everything Christ has commanded. Don't just think of teaching as standing in front of a group to give a sermon like what I'm doing right now, or doing a Bible study. That's teaching, yes. But what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 28, it is more than as you go. Teaching in the context of relationship. Remember in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God speaks to his people about how his words should saturate their conversations when they're walking on the streets or in their homes. Essentially, it is passing what the word has taught us to others. Here's my question for you then. Are you a receiver of the word, or are you a reproducer of the word? How do we listen in such a way that we're not just receiving, but that we can also reproduce it? How can we say everything I'm learning about the word is not just intended for me, but it's to be passed on through me to other people whom I can help grow in Christ? There are people in your families, there are people in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, even people in your church who need you to help them grow in Christ. Look for those opportunities. As you have been studying the word, as you've been communing with the Lord, and as you've been fellowshipping with other believers, and as you're growing in the faith, you have a responsibility to help others grow in Christ. Disciple making means not letting the word stop with us, but letting it spread through us. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this question down. Write this question down in your notes. And hear this. Will the word stop with you, or will it spread through you? Again, will the word stop with you, or will it spread through you? Now, you should let the word of God be imprinted on your heart, so nothing will stop it from being taught through you to others who are growing in Christ. This is disciple making when every disciple of Christ proclaims the word, demonstrates the word, and then teaches the word. We are baptizing, and we're teaching people to obey everything Christ commands. So those are the first three components. And here's the fourth. Serve the world. What Jesus is telling us is that as we share, as we demonstrate, as we teach the word, we are to do this in all the nations. In all the nations. So the fourth component of disciple making is an intentional focus on seeing disciples made among all the peoples in the world. What's interesting is the word Jesus uses for nations. It's not nations like we think of them today. That is, a geopolitical entities. There are about 200 of these in the United Nations today. But back when Christ spoke these words, the United States of America and other such nations did not yet exist. The word he uses is ethne, from which we get our idea of ethnic groups. Today we speak of people groups to describe what he's saying. So this makes sense. If you go to a major city here in North America, in, for example, Los Angeles, that's one city in one nation. But there are many different ethnicities, groups of people who speak different languages and have different cultures. Yes, there are 200 or so geopolitical nations around the world, but anthropologists and mission scholars have identified over 11,000 distinct groups of people in the world, each sharing a common language and culture. So Jesus commands us as his disciples to make disciples in every single people group. It's not just a general command to make disciples among as many people as possible. It is a specific command to make disciples among every people group in the world. To be a follower of Jesus is to be passionate about seeing disciples made among all the people groups of the world. Each of us is to serve the world. God's intent for the church, the effective proclamation of the Christian gospel to all humanity, making disciples from every nation, and the development of those disciples' character into the character of Christ himself. We are to be constantly praying for the spread of the gospel to every people group in the world. If you're not aware, we can use resources such as Operation World or the Joshua Project to be exposed to different people groups who have never heard the gospel. How can you be part of this? Perhaps every morning on your knees, bring specific groups before the Lord. In groups like this, pray that disciples will be made. Second, you can give of your resources for the spread of the gospel. And then be open to going yourself. Maybe it would be just a short-term mission. Perhaps God will lead different ones, one of us, for a week or two here or there to be a part of seeing disciples made in another part of the world. Or perhaps for you, it won't be short-term. Maybe as a student, you can spend a semester or a summer overseas making disciples. Maybe you can take a gap year or two or go somewhere in the world where you can see disciples made. Here's an opportunity for us. Right? We have a relationship with Pastor Fowley from Madagascar that we could connect with and help there and make disciples in Madagascar. Some of you might be open to long-term missions, moving your life to another place in the world, moving your family from California to Maine, or from California to Indonesia, or Saudi Arabia, or China. It's not limited to the people who leave their jobs, sell everything, and go, although God does call many people to do this. There are also opportunities for people to leverage their jobs. One of our brother, Jimmy Aviles, have taken the time to leave us here and be a member of a local church where in Japan to make disciples. You can work and live in places like the Middle East or North Africa or even Southeast Asia, spreading the gospel while you have a job in these countries. The bottom line is that every follower of Christ is intended to share the word with people who do not know him. We are to demonstrate others what it looks like to follow him. We are to teach others the word of God that has entrusted to us. Our ultimate aim is simply to tell God, here's my life. I want to be a part of the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth, however you want to use me, wherever you want me to go, and whatever you want me to do. I want to be a part of making disciples in every nation. I hope that is your prayer today, that your heart's desire, as we look ahead of the new year, year 2020, that your prayer life would consist this, that you want to be a part of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth, however God wants to use you. That wherever he sends you to go, whatever he desires for you to do, that you would want that. That you want to be part of this special call that God has given us to make disciples. If you pray that, you will find yourself walking in obedience to Jesus' command, and you'll find yourself experiencing God's design for your life and your family as you become part of the greatest purpose in all the world, seeing the gospel spread to the ends of the earth. That's why Jesus closed the Great Commission with this promise. If you do this, I will be with you always to the end of the age. What a great promise. What a great hope that we have. You will experience the power of His presence at work in your life when you are giving yourself to this command and when you are making disciples. You see, my beloved, when we obediently follow Jesus, we won't always know where He's going to take us. But one thing for sure, we have this confidence, but we know He will always be with us. Amen? What an amazing promise that Christ promised to us that He will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be there every time and every moment. So there's no reason for us to fear or to be discouraged, but to know, to understand this very thing, that He will be with us. When you are proclaiming the word, you'll need His presence. You'll see the power of His presence at work. When you are showing someone else how to follow Him, leading them into baptism, gathering together with them in a local church, you will see His presence at work. When you are teaching the word, you will see the power of His presence at work. And when you do these things in your community or around the world, you will see the power of His presence at work in your life. So rejoice in that, my beloved. Go and make disciples. So don't doubt for a second. I will be with you. I will enable you to make disciples who will then make disciples. That's His promise, that He will be with you, that He will be with us. He will enable us to make disciples. What God asks of us may seem impossible, but His response is the same as it has always been. Listen to this. I am with you. His presence is the key to courage. This is God's plan for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it when His people are obeying this command, when we are giving ourselves to this plan. Disciple making can be defined as the Christ commanded, Spirit-empowered duty of every disciple of Jesus to evangelize unbelievers, baptize believers. Teach them the word of Christ. Train them to obey Christ as members of His church and make disciples on missions to all nations. So let me close with this. Understanding that we are to proclaim the word, that we have to demonstrate the word, we are to teach the word and serve the world. We are to do this until the day when disciples have been made in all the nations, and we gather around the throne of our King. When we gather around our Lord and we give Him the praise He is due. So let me give you three exhortations for every disciple of Jesus. Number one, believe in the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just the personal Lord and Savior over us. Jesus is the universal Lord and Savior over all. He has authority over nature and nations. He has authority over disease and demons. He has authority over sin and death. He has authority over your life. He has authority over my life. He has authority over every life. Jesus' authority compels us to go. His word is the fuel of our mission. His worship is the goal of our mission. Jesus' authority gives us confidence as we go. This gospel will save. This mission will succeed. So we are to believe in the authority of Christ. Second thing is we need to obey the command of Christ. This is not a comfortable call for most Christians to come, be baptized, and sit in one location. This is a costly command for every Christian to go baptize and make disciples of all nations. Jesus' introduction in Matthew 4, every follower of Jesus is a fisher of men. Jesus' conclusion in Matthew 28, every disciple is a disciple maker. So we proclaim the word. We speak about the gospel as we live according to the gospel. We demonstrate the word. Baptism symbolizes identification with the person of Christ and inclusion in the body of Christ. We teach the word. We don't just receive the word, we reproduce the word. We serve the world. There is not just a general command to make disciples among as many people as possible. This is a specific command to make disciples among every people group in the world. As we make disciples of all nations, we will multiply churches among all nations. So the third thing, as we close, depend on the presence of Christ. This mission is not based on who we are or what we can do. This mission is based on who Jesus is and what He is able to do in and through our lives. Together, let's experience the power of His presence with us, that He will be with us, that He will be with you, even to the end of the world. Together, let's hope in the promise of His return for us. Let us pray. Our great Father, help us to be faithful in this mission that You have called us today, in each one of our lives as we move forward to that day in eternity. Father, we are reminded that even before disciple making was a command, it is a privilege we have to know You and to see others become followers of You and enjoy You. So Lord, I pray that we want others to know Your grace and to see Your glory. We ask by Your Spirit that You would help us all. We pray to be faithful to Your command, to make disciples, to make disciples, to make disciples. Don't let us get to the end of our lives as believers who have done all kinds of good things in the church, but who have not given ourselves to this clear command. We pray, Father, that You would help us to lead people to Christ and show them how to follow Christ and teach them to obey Christ. May we do this until every people group in the world has disciples. May there be disciples from every nation giving You the praise and glory You are due as our Lord. So we pray that You would use us toward that end. Lead us, bless us toward that end. We pray in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen and Amen.